It is 1:05 PM. And I called to order the May 20th, 2026 meeting of the Texas Transportation Commission Audit Subcommittee in Austin, Texas. Note for the record that the public notice for this meeting containing all items on the agenda was filed with the Secretary of State at 3:54 PM on Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. It is at least 7 days prior to the meeting in accordance with Government Code 551.044. At this time, I would like to ask that before we begin today's meeting, place all cell phones and other communication devices in the silent or off mode. All speakers should say their name and title before speaking. Thank you, and I will now turn the meeting over to our Chief Audit and Compliance Officer, Carson Townsend.
Thank you, Chairman Alvis. Before we begin, I just want to congratulate you on becoming our new chairman. I know me, Craig, and Cheryl all appreciate your leadership and look forward to working with you as we address stewardship and accountability here at TxDOT. So thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, Carson.
And for Commissioner Gordon, for his first time being on the Audit Subcommittee, sir, we welcome you here and look forward to your leadership as well and working with you.
Thank you.
At this time, I ask for everyone's full attention to the screen as we show the Greer Building safety video describing emergency exits and other emergency procedures.
Thank you.
Attention, please. The following is a safety brief to ensure your personal safety at the Texas Department of Transportation Greer Building. In case of a medical emergency, please call 911. An automated external defibrillator unit is located here on level 1 in the main lobby at the security booth. First aid kits are marked and located on each floor. Fire extinguishers are marked and located on each floor.
Thank you.
In the event of an evacuation, proceed to the nearest exit. Once outside, proceed to the west parking lot of the Greer Building, located at the corner of Congress Avenue and 11th Street. In case of a tornado or inclement weather, stay inside. Move away from exterior walls and windows. The designated shelters are stairwells, basements, interior hallways, and centrally located restrooms. In case of active shooter or bomb threat, follow instructions from the public address system and on-site security personnel for more details. Thank you for your time. Have a safe and productive meeting.
All right, I now turn the meeting back over to you, Chairman Elvis.
Thank you, Parson. Now we will open with comments from my fellow commissioner, Mr. Gordon. Welcome to your first meeting. Thank you for your service. Do you have any comments you'd like to offer at this time?
No. Well, my only comment is very short. I just appreciate being a part of this committee. I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. And it's important for TxDOT, and I'm happy to help the way I can.
Thank you, Commissioner Gordon. We'll now consider the approval of the minutes for March 24th, 2026 Audit Subcommittee meeting. The draft minutes have been provided. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for the March 24th, 2026 quarterly meeting of the Audit Subcommittee?
Motion.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I will now turn the meeting over to Chief Townsend.
All right, thank you, Chairman Aldis. Item 3 is the Internal Audit Division update. Division Director Craig Otto will present this item.
Persons. Good afternoon, everyone. Start off with item 3A and management action plan follow-up status. And I wanted just to kind of take a step back on this in regards to just explaining a little bit about the management action plan process. There are 4 priority levels, as you'll see on the slide, ranging from priority 1, red, through priority 4, which is green. And the risk levels will be higher at 1 and 2 versus the 3 and 4. And typically what we'll do in these forums is try to bring more of the higher level risk priorities to the attention of the audit subcommittee as needed. And what this illustrates is back in our last, or I should say in December 2025, when it was the last time we presented the management action follow-ups, you can see how they progressed into the May of 2026. We've seen slight increases, of course, and anytime we issue more reports and as time goes on and if our completion dates aren't met, the management action plans will come past due. And so there's many things that we do to engage the business partners. Management action plans are created by the business. We will provide recommendations. We want to be there to assist in that, but we also want to make sure that the business, as subject matter experts, you know, present what they feel is the best plan in timing to get the risk mitigated. And as you can see here on priority ones and twos, we will go back through and retest those. Once the completion date has passed, we've obtained information from them, we'll send an audit team, a small audit team, to go back out and just reassess that what they said was going to be done and by the time frame was completed. And then that will be our conclusion to determine to either close it or not. For the priorities three and four, we went to what's the self-certification process. It helps the business in terms of feeling like there's another audit going on. It gives them the authority to work within themselves. And then a district engineer or district division director will self-certify that they've closed that. We are in a new era here within internal audit where we're actually not only doing the follow-ups, but we're actually looking at the sustainability for even the self-certified. So we're going to be going back out into the field and just making sure that the businesses are continuing to follow through or to work with them to find more efficient and effective means of getting things done. We do performance auditing. It's not just compliance. It's, you know, we do look to make sure that statutes are being followed, but we also want to engage ourselves a little bit in understanding is this the most effective or efficient means of how we do things? So that's always, I think, looked upon by the businesses favorably. Of course, we make sure that, you know, we make sure we stand the right distance from that because we're not necessarily subject matter experts, but we do see things from a control perspective differently than others. So that's sort of just a summary, high level summary of how the management action process follows. And we'll go through a couple of the red and oranges here in the next couple slides. So any questions on the surface in regards to what I just went through?
Questions again? You make, great.
So let's go take a look on slide six. We'll look at the priority one. This is the highest priority, and this is one in regards to being past due. It's been on our slides for a few times now. We are seeing progress. We've seen 20 districts actually provide substantiation around utilities. What had happened here is that when we had gone out and we were being discovered that we were being billed, and a lot of the districts weren't necessarily sure that what are we being billed for. So we had to go basically and develop an inventory of all of our meters. And these could be in right-of-ways, they could be in buildings, et cetera. And so 20 of the districts have done that and have made substantial progress. We within internal audit are now going through that work to try to ascertain that, you know, what should have been accomplished has been. There are five districts that are still working through that. We will take a look at those when that information is provided. But one thing that we try to do within internal audit is if we see 20 districts have completed this, we're gonna bring that risk level down. There's no need to keep it at a high level. We wanna make sure that you guys are seeing it at the level that we, from an independent objective point of view, would say it has. So as we get through those 20, it's very well likely that this will come down either to orange or potentially even yellow, depending on what we see.
Are they telling you when they're ready for you to come in and retest, or are you kind of giving them deadlines for that?
There is an original completion date, Commissioner Gordon, and then ultimately a new target date will be established. We'll work with them on okay. We don't want to necessarily be too pushy on it, but we do want to be respectful that very soon after, within a few days of that deadline, we're inquiring about what has been, you know, submitted to us. And then I would say within probably it could be a few weeks to a couple months at most, we'll be into the field on those red and oranges and actually start working with them face to face.
Thank you.
We go to the next page. These are the priority twos. There's a couple on here from district operations and also one from aviation. Again, these have been on here since the last presentation, but just to give you a little bit of an update. In relation to the construction engineering and inspection, the CEI, this was one where there was a lot of question around when these consultants or these engineer inspectors come out into the field, how do we know they're actually there? And oftentimes it's very hard to ascertain that. And one of the things that we're piloting in the Lufkin District right now is sort of the geofencing. We do that with our fleet vehicles. So you can kind of, based on an app or a GPS signal, you can determine the individual is there. And this is just one good step in the right direction of making sure they're at least in the proximity, but then also it's working with the area engineers and project managers to make sure that the coursework of what those engineers or inspectors are supposed to be doing on our behalf is being done. Oftentimes we'll look through documentation, daily work reports, things of that nature to try to understand did they do what they say we're going to go do or what we're being billed for? So this is a good step in the right direction. We're hoping that the pilot process goes well, and then we can basically start moving that on to other districts to help determine and pinpoint that those individuals were where they needed to be during that time. In regards to fleet prevention and maintenance audit, this again, primarily the priority level on this one, anytime we talk safety, it typically is going to be something that is going to rise, and we just want to make sure that all the standard operating procedures are documented and written as to how these pre-trip inspections are supposed to occur. There's also a review process by supervisors, making sure that if anyone detects something, that that's being looked at and making sure that it gets resolved and reported. So again, 11 of 12 districts currently are being tested right now. We don't have those results finalized. We can provide an update on that as we move forward. The last one on here is grant management aviation audit. This again was, again, related to documentation and making sure that there's certain activities, if it's Buy America or material testing, that information is being recorded and documented. And one of the solutions to this was to try to go to more of an automated process. That unfortunately, the procurement of that had gone on for a few months, and then it ended up being vacated, and they're looking to go back into some of the manual processes. I know that last that I've heard that there is a new, kind of a renewal for procurement of an automated tool. But what we're trying to understand is, in the meantime, how are we making sure that we're mitigating that risk? And so manual processes are still being implemented. We've been working with aviation to make sure that, you know, they understand that improvement is good, but we need to make sure that's sustainable. And then at that point, we level down.
Thank you.
With all the businesses in those capacities, to not only lower those, but also to close these once and for all. Are there any questions as it relates to any of the management action plans that I've just discussed?
No question.
So I'll continue on to two audits that I'd like to, again, provide a little bit of an oversight on. First one is item 3B1. This is construction maintenance contractor evaluations. It overall was a priority 2, which is an orange. And what this one focused on is looking at interim in the final evaluation process for both construction and maintenance projects. And some of the mitigations, as you'll see as we go through some of the evidence points, are going to be focusing on, again, making sure that we reinforce completion and making sure the monitoring of these evaluations is being done. There's also always room for additional training. TxDOT has maintained really good numbers in regards to keeping personnel up. But people can move jobs, and we want to make sure that the training is adequate enough to make sure that they can ramp up quickly in terms of what the responsibilities may be. On page 9, we'll walk through a couple of the details. So as it relates to completion and timeliness, you can see here 37% of the interim and 48% of the final evaluations were not completed on time. There are certain parameters in regards to the number of days typically after these anniversary dates for interim or the final evaluation closeout is to commence. We're actually seeing in some cases the evaluations being done as much as 200 days early, most people think it's always later, but we've seen some done a little bit early and also some being done later. And the monitoring activities is probably one of the key areas that we're looking to try to get improvement on. Sometimes you just lose track of time and it's been 1 year and all of a sudden you have an interim evaluation that's ready to be done. Unfortunately, there's not the most robust triggering mechanism out there to alert folks to start doing these. And sometimes they're then discovered later. And that's where we want to make sure that, you know, whatever the business can do to detect that this timing is coming up, to make sure these not only get done on time, but they're also being completed. As the second bullet point, there were 70% of interim and 9% of final evaluations that we could not locate. In state government, of course, we've got to make sure that we keep a good audit trail and paper trail. So whenever, you know, we offer up, if something cannot be immediately located, we will still report it as a finding, but we always give the business an opportunity to go and look for these things as well. So, again, timeliness and location and making sure that these are being secured is very, very important, specifically as it relates to these evaluations. Secondly, on scoring and corrective actions, As you score the evaluation, there's a scoring of 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, and 3. So there's those five areas. The justification we take a look at. If does it make sense, if you score below a 2, there's a project, a recovery plan that needs to be brought forward by the contractor, making sure, hey, what are you going to do to help improve your scoring? Because we don't want the project to be in jeopardy because of our evaluation being so low. We want to make sure that we see improvement from the contractor. So in a lot of these cases, you know, the justification, the scoring, we want to make sure aligns so that, you know, there's a consistency and that nobody feels that they're being treated differently or unfairly as it relates to one district versus the other. As it relates to item 3B1 and the construction maintenance contractor evaluations, Peter, do you have any questions? I'm sorry.
I have a couple on that.
Okay, just go ahead, sir.
So you have 70% of the of these evaluations you couldn't even locate. Are they writing or are they electronic or?
It's a great question.
Pretty.
They need to be done written. It's again, you, we don't want things electronically. It's around the securitization of them, making sure they don't get out. But basically, the interims were such a high percentage, they're oftentimes bypassed. But the finals, again, much lower percentage, those are being typically completed.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say when this, when the commission adopted the rule around this, there were, I should say, this is Mark Williams, executive director, capture that on the record. There was a lot of concern by the contracting community around doing this electronically, open records request, competitors for one, open record, getting open records request for their competitors and getting that information out there. And so the commission's rules that were adopted prescribed that we had to do it in writing and that we couldn't make records of them. And so that process, you know, it was adopted for a reason, but that process also lends to some of the challenges here, Quill. What happened to the one piece of paper that somebody filed, you know, and did that evaluation on? I don't know. We weren't allowed to make copies of it. So, you know, that is part of what kind of presents the challenges. So if there were no parameters under which we had to operate, I would say, let's just do this all electronically. We could set it up like we're doing the access management. We could track it all. But there are administrative code regulations that we have to follow that kind of contribute to some of the challenges that the districts have in being able to be more efficient in this area. Still, there's absolutely room for improvement and some things that we can do to improve just the tracking of it. But there is some history as to why, you know, we are following a paper process when it would seem to be an electronic process would be so much easier.
Yeah, and I just look at it when it's 70% or 73 down here that there's something wrong with the process itself, and you've kind of identified that. It's got to be these little paper forms, and everybody's concerned about them. Okay.
And just for clarification on the 73%, that, you know, the contractors are the ones that are responsible for getting that to the districts, you know, but again, it's probably us monitoring that and letting them know, hey, we don't have this, you know, we need to get this. So yeah, there are challenges, as Mark laid out very well.
But Mark, our education on inspections, final inspections, and finishing strong on these contractors, that's continuing nonstop, correct?
Yes. Yes.
You know, you see out in the field sometimes they don't finish as strong as if it was the Exxon campus, right? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like to see projects finish that they turn it over to us and it looks good.
Right. And I think the team's come up with some good recommendations with the districts on, you know, maybe looking at how frequently we do interims and then just having some, I mean, the final evaluation really needs to be that needs to be completed on time and definitely needs to be secured.
Are we doing that before the final payout?
I don't think that that's necessarily the case based upon the results.
That would be nice to head in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Continue on to item 3B2. It's the state safety oversight program. This was a yellow priority three, but the reason why I wanted to bring this audit forward is sort of demonstrates how internal audit will work with the business. And in this case, it was the rail division. They will be audited every 3 years, I believe through FTA. And what we try to do is come in before that and provide them an audit and give them results for things to kind of mature and fix. And it doesn't necessarily mean the FTA won't necessarily utilize our work, but at least helps, rail in this case, get prepared for this and continuously look at opportunities and ways to improve. So we'll go through some of the results as it relates to this. We flip over on the oversight itself details. There's six RTAs or rail transit authorities. Anywhere from Houston to Galveston, El Paso, a couple in Dallas, and also north of Dallas and McKinney. And one of the areas that we detected was as an event or an accident occurs, safety is such an instrumental part of this entire oversight. We noticed that contributing factors were not always identified as it related to the incident. And so those are pretty much important from the standpoint of how do we learn and understand causes. So one of the things that we've asked and the business is looking to do is to help increase, monitoring and understanding of making sure that those fields are filled out properly in the incident reports. Also, there's a workload assessment that has to be done with this program, in regards to are we properly have enough capacity of manpower to fulfill the responsibilities, also looking at the costs associated with that. And we detected there were a few areas in terms of adding that documentation to that assessment. Oftentimes you're not going to get feedback from it, maybe federal partners or others, but what we were able to do is go in and kind of basically from a compliance check determine what areas needed to be covered, and we saw a couple areas of opportunity, and so Rail's taking that and going to be developing those as we move forward. Also, training, as we mentioned previously as well, there's all of the training and program standards were being followed. Again, what we call operational design or the standard operating procedures is things do need to be documented and then they need to be performed. And so sometimes we, in a good sense, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but the documentation may not be there. And so in a couple of cases here, we need to make sure our standards are all properly documented and also the training that we determine is appropriate for these leaders within this area is getting done. And as it relates to the training, these were actually self-identified areas of opportunity. So again, they complied with what they needed to, but there were a couple other areas that they just need to tend to. And again, we have full assurance from our recommendations as well as the management action plans that that will be fulfilled. So again, a good story that we're able to go and help the businesses a little bit ahead of time before our federal partners come in. But again, that's primarily the reason for bringing this one forward. Are there any questions? Thank you,
Greg. All right, item four is the Compliance Division update. Division Director Cheryl Bocock will present this item.
Good afternoon. Today I will be presenting a summary of investigations for the third quarter, as well as an action plan follow-up for findings issued by external audit.
Thank you.
This summary of investigations does include both fraud, waste, and abuse investigations, which are conducted by the Compliance Division, as well as EEO investigations that are completed by our EEO sections. Overall, for the quarter, we received 173 allegations. We initiated 27 investigations and substantiated 11 of the 20 investigations we closed, resulting in a substantiation rate of 55%, which is an increase from last quarter's 43% substantiation rate. There were several cases that we found significant this quarter, including an investigation regarding a conflict of interest where a TxDOT employee was living and guiding hunts on a game ranch owned by an active TxDOT vendor. The vendor is a supplier of cleaning products that are used by the district. However, the employee is not involved in purchasing of those products. The employee and the owners have been friends for several years, and it hadn't occurred to them that this was a potential conflict or that it should have been disclosed. The employee did receive a 12-month probation and has found and has since moved from the property. We don't have any continuing concerns with this situation. Also significant this quarter, we substantiated two investigations that included falsification of documentation. The first involved an employee who was on jury duty. He falsified his jury duty notice, claimed 3 days of jury duty. In fact, he only had 1 day. The second case involved an employee falsifying medical provider information, which was provided to the supervisor as an excuse for missing work.
Thank you.
Are there any questions about the substantiated investigations from the quarter?
Question.
Okay. So this slide that you're seeing shows the results of investigations that were closed during the quarter, organized by allegation category. Workplace harassment was our most common allegation that was investigated this quarter, followed by employee misconduct. Overall, the total of allegations did decrease this quarter from last quarter. Q3 did show an increase in substantiated investigations related specifically to employee misconduct. And this quarter, that included a combination of misuse of state equipment, as well as other activities, including employees performing work for supervisors outside of TxDOT, as well as falsification of documentation. We did see a significant decrease in third-party investigations this quarter. We only had one unsubstantiated case this quarter versus 8 cases last quarter.
Thank you.
Can I answer any questions about our allegation categories?
No questions. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
So this slide is showing allegations by category over the past 12 months. Misuse of state resources has decreased. We only had one substantiated case this quarter. And while allegations of workplace harassment do continue to be reported, we are seeing that fewer cases are being substantiated, and the downward trend that we've been seeing over the past year is continuing.
Thank you.
The action plan follow-up does include findings that have been issued from audits conducted by the Compliance Division's External Audit Section. External audit is currently tracking 6 audits with a total of 50 recommendations. 33 of those recommendations are identified as being fully implemented. Since this information was last presented to the subcommittee in Q1, the Lubbock MPO, Laredo MPO, and Killeen Temple MPO have closed out all of their findings. I'm going to take just a minute to walk through the entities that have open findings. The City of Denton, the maps for the City of Denton were issued in March of this year. The implementation of these will be reviewed during our next map engagement.
Thank you.
The audit of Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission. Southeast Texas did return unallowable costs that were identified during the audit and is completing documentation of new processes. The audit of Golden Crescent Regional Planning Commission. Golden Crescent also returned the identified unallowable costs, and they are also working on documenting new procedures.
Thank you.
Hidalgo County, their open finding, their one remaining open finding is in relation to the value engineering change proposal that was utilized during construction of the 365 tollway project. HCRMA has finalized their methodology for determining non-participating versus participating costs, and it has been approved by FHWA. We are currently waiting for HCRMA to implement the new approved methodology and to revise the request for reimbursement and resubmit those to the district.
Thank you.
Permian Basin MPO, they are struggling a little bit to complete their findings. They're a very small MPO with only three staff members. And this is one of the MPOs that has the City of Odessa is their fiscal agent. And so the relationship there is in progress. So they depend a lot on the City of Odessa, and they're still working on how that relationship is maintained and what it should look like. They do have several open findings that we are still assisting them on closing.
Thank you.
The Houston Galveston area MPO, they are still not paying vendors within their 30 days due to cash flow issues. So they have requested that TxDOT consider paying them in advance instead of on a reimbursement method. And the Houston district is currently working with the COG to find a solution to their issue. So are there any questions I can answer concerning the open findings that we have?
No questions.
No question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Chairman Ellis, with all the agenda items completed, I now turn the meeting back over to you, sir.
Thank you.
We will not need an executive session today with all agenda items concluded. Are there any other comments?
I have no comments.
We plan to conduct the next Transportation Commission Audit Subcommittee on August 25th of 2026. There being no other further comments, may I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Please note for the record, it is 1:37, and this meeting stands adjourned.